Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of EOD Gear Improvised. What do you get when you mix a philosophical historian and a PhD from Vanderbilt and writing a book about EOD? So guys, strap in, this is going to be a good one. You're going to want to take notes. There's a test afterwards.
This is EOD Gear Improvised.
EOD Gear Improvised.
Do we get to blow stuff up yet?
Stand by.
Everyone in EOD has a laser-calibrated eyeball and plenty of attitude to go with it.
Seriously, can we blow stuff up now? Fire in the hole.
EOD-gear.com. Initial success or total failure. EOD Gear Improvised. With your host, former Navy EOD tech and owner of EOD Gear, Steve Cassidy.
All right. Joe, Paula, we got you on here.
Finally. All right, thank you.
Yeah, we were just talking about blowing stuff up before the show, and I really do miss it. So yeah. I guess for everybody listening, you guys authored a book, Unsung, about Navy EOD. Specifically stories from the techs as well as their families. And so just a quick one, Joe, you have your degree in philosophy and history, and and Dr. Paula Green, you went to Vandy right up the street.
Woo-hoo!
Which is really go doors.
What about the Golden Eagles though?
Yeah, right up the street, my alma mater. Was I always wanted to play against Vanderbilt. At least we would have had a chance of winning. But
that's low.
Well, you know, SEC is tough. SEC is tough. Maybe Vandy would have won a game. But hey, guys, thank you so much for being on here. It was great to meet you at the Naval Special Operations Foundation Gala and Extravaganza this past. It's been a couple months.
June 3rd. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us on, Steve. And it was a real pleasure to meet you and so many of the other folks, some of whom we'd been in contact with. We had one. There was one guy there that we'd actually interviewed. I won't use his name, but his pseudonym was 40 Mike Mike. It was a great experience for us, and we're very grateful to the folks at NSOF for inviting us and providing us with airfare and everything else that was associated with it. It was a great honor for us.
Yeah, that was fantastic. It was cool because I got to wear a tuxedo, and I have customers that have never seen me in pants. I'm always in shorts, so it was a pretty rare occasion. So I got a picture, but like you can't. I might be wearing shorts. You never can tell. But so let's go back to the origin of Unsung. And I mean, tell me, you know, cover the book just real quick about, you know, there's a bunch of great stories, a bunch of great chapters. You know, they're like little micro stories within the chapter. So tell me how all this came about.
Yeah. Just to follow on that real fast, Steve, one of the best descriptions I think we've had from a reader, she commented their vignettes, and you can pick them up and read them. They'll stay in your head for a long time, but then you can put them down. You can come back at another time, and it's not like you've been interrupted. How did we do this? Joe will tell you that we both talked about this on the way back from an honor ceremony in the summer of 2019. And did some research and found that there really wasn't anything out there other than what was produced by Navy for recruiting purposes on Navy EOD and the work they did and the sacrifices their families made. But I will tell you that's not quite true. My sweet husband came back and couldn't sleep after that ceremony. We met a lot of Navy EOD guys and their families, and we were just blown away by the integrity, fun, you know, and capabilities of all of them. And so Joe didn't sleep that night very well. And when he got up or when I got up the next morning, he said, okay, honey, I've done some research and there's nothing out there on Navy EOD. People don't know about Navy EOD. We didn't know about Navy EOD except for anecdotal experiences that were shared with us by our youngest son and by some of the folks that we met, you know, at the honors ceremony. So he said, I want us to do a book. I want to interview the techs and operators, and I want you to interview family members. Are you willing? And I said, expletive deleted, yes. So that's how it began. Joe, fill in from there, baby.
Yeah, we, you know, I sort of did a deep dive to try to, we're both kind of bookish people, obviously, having been in the education racket all of our adult lives. And I was hoping to find some reading material, some books about Navy EOD to give us some idea of what our youngest was up to in more specific ways. He obviously would only share with us what he was able, certainly nothing that was sensitive or classified. So we wanted to learn more about the community, the people in it, and their family members. And when I wasn't able to really come across any nonfiction material about it, that's when the idea popped in my head that we should do this ourselves. So the next step was to reach out to Commodore Rojas, who was the EOD Group 1 commander at the time. We sent him a letter. We described what we wanted to do and asked his permission to speak with the people in his command and his blessing and support. And he called us back probably
within 48 hours
after having received the letter and said, I'm on board. I think it's a great idea. And you have my complete support. Here's the email address for my PAO. And we went from there.
That's fantastic. Now, have you guys, have you seen the movie Juggernaut?
I watched it yesterday because did you? I heard you talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, it is. From 1974 as well.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really a good one. You know, and then, of course, I, on that other podcast with Jamie George, I mentioned Elvis Presley, Easy Come, Easy Go. Probably falls in the more fiction. But it's still pretty funny. Elvis was a Navy EOD tech. So
pretty funny.
Yeah.
Considering he was in the Army. The
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it was great. I think, you know, it was funny. My dad was Navy. He was in the real Navy. And when I was at jump school and I came home, because it was only about a 4-hour drive. So I stopped in to see mom and dad, and my dad goes, you know, you're not in the real Navy, right? And I was like, yeah, I know. And I like it that way. So
deliberately not in the real Navy, right?
Yeah. Oh, and my mom hated it. She could not believe I was EOD. She just absolutely hated it. She was a patriot, but she would have rather I've done something else. But, yeah. You know.
Well, Paula has a similar story. About her son, if we can go down this road for just a minute, you want to talk about your reaction was?
Absolutely. You know, like some of the EOD operators, they rang out or they were injured, you know, in Bud's training. And our son was one of those who was injured a couple of times and rolled back and decided that he decided that becoming a SEAL wasn't his best option. There were some issues that I, you know, won't talk about, but he then was invited to, you know, do maybe 6 other pieces of service. I was thinking that he would have a toothbrush and he would be cleaning the bottoms of ships for, you know, the next 3 years. But he called and said, so, Mom, I've met with a board about Navy EOD, and I'm going that route. And I said, wow, okay, baby, what's Navy EOD? And he said, it's explosive ordnance disposal. And I said, you got to be shitting me. What? You know, he said, Ma, I said, son, I get it. I know you're a protector. I know you want to be at the tip of the spear, but I can't believe you're doing this. But of course I could, because I knew who he was. And quite frankly, with all the research I did with Draper Kaufman to get chapter 3 in on a brief history, I began to, and then meeting the guys at the award ceremony in the summer of 19, I began to get a real good glimpse of attributes of Navy EOD. And, oh man, you know, our son fit right in. You know, he was a protector. He was a leader. He was a fixer. He was a champion of the underdog. He was a hero. He was a problem solver, an expert, a rescuer. He was detail-oriented, observant, focused, intuitive. You know, I could go on with numerous adjectives that were used to describe the technicians and operators during our interviews. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. So you guys got permission from Group 1. Then I guess you had to roll over to Group 2. And then I guess Frank came in, Admiral.
Well, actually, once Oscar sort of gave us his permission to talk to his people, we reached out to the folks at Group 2, but we also went through the process of getting, I guess you'd call it permission, from NavInfo East. That his PAO hooked us up with a contact at NavInfo East. We sent them the book proposal, and they wanted some more specifics, some details about who we were and what it was we were attempting to do and the approach we were going to take. And once they gave us a case number, we reached out to the folks, the good people at Group 2, which at that time was, that was Brian Jurgens, I think, was the Command Master Chief, and Rick Hayes was the Commodore there. And we had a phone conversation with them. I think they were both a little reluctant when they first heard about the project. Maybe not as enthusiastic as Oscar was, but after maybe a 40-minute or so conversation on the phone with them, they agreed to help spread the word within the command for folks who wanted to volunteer or folks who we could interview to be part of the project. So, and after that, well, of course, we have to say that the timing of this was pretty terrible, in the sense that we began this project, and then about a half an hour later, COVID went insane, and
closed everything down.
And so travel was out, doing face-to-face interviews was out. We did pretty much all of our interviews over the phone or with internet streaming services. It was not what we expected when we began the project.
Right. And so we were unbelievably humbled and grateful that the 47 people we interviewed were so candid and willing to share their stories. We were blown away. You know, we spent over 2 years interviewing and then transcribing with over 1,000 pages of transcriptions. From those interviews. And from that, we were able to identify themes. We had prepared questionnaires, and we let people know in advance the kinds of questions we were going to ask. We were trying to be very sensitive and to honor anonymity and comfort, you know, in talking. We were just so grateful people were willing to talk with us.
That probably helped a lot of guys too. Just be able to talk about it.
Yeah. And, you know, we knew, I think at some level that we were, well, first of all, we were total strangers to almost everybody we interviewed. And the fact that people, as Paula said, were candid with their remarks to us. Some interviews were, you know, an hour in length, and then others went for several hours. The stories that were shared were obviously heartfelt, sometimes difficult, sometimes hilarious, sometimes tear-jerking, which we expected. But it was, You know, it was amazing that people said what they said to people that they'd never met, and in most cases they still haven't met.
Sure.
I do that a lot in traffic.
Yeah. That's different.
Yeah, it's different.
I had some wives say to me in the midst, because we got on it, you know, with each other, and they said, I've never told anybody this. And of course, all the wives, all of the children, the parents, and the siblings that I interviewed are all anonymous, except for one. One adult child whose father, I'll say it, Bill Nesbitt, because he's also uses his identity in the book because he's been retired for a while. His daughter Riley said, I said, honey, I'm doing anonymous. She said, no, I want my name in the book.
Oh, that's great.
I said, you are an awesome woman. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you guys broke the book up. How did you get to the decision where you're going to do some texts and, you know, then also bring in family?
Well, I guess we had a couple of contacts at both coasts. So we had folks from both groups who reached out to us. And then it was, Steve, it was almost word of mouth, man. You guys are such a tight community.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So when I was talking, say, with Scott Moneypenny, he'd say, you know who you need to talk to up at Great Lakes? And he'd give me a name and either a phone number or an email address. And I'd talk to that guy, and he'd say, yeah, man, here's the story that I want to tell you about, whatever. And then so it just sort of mushroomed out within the community. We wish, honestly, after listening to you talk on the podcast yesterday, we'd had a chance to interview you. That would have been cool, because I'm sure you got a bunch of stories. But we interviewed 47 people in total. That's the operators, their family members. We wish in some ways that we could have interviewed more, but then we'd have a 2,000-page book instead of a 350-page book.
Well, and it wouldn't be done yet because it would keep growing. Interestingly, so was, I have...
Is there a plan for a second book?
We're marketing this book.
I'm here to help.
And you and God, we're so grateful. You know, we had no idea that print on demand, the book is only available exclusively on Amazon.com. We had no idea that we would be spending the time that we're spending on marketing.
Yeah.
We have a great EOD audience, but we also have a decent non-military audience. And what we're trying to do, of course, is get both state, regional, and national attention so that people can know about, you know, this book.
So tell them the three things you had in mind.
Well, sure, absolutely.
So I met you guys, and like I say, whenever I meet somebody, you know, especially an author, I'm going to buy your book. And I bought it as soon as I got back. I think I flew out on Sunday. I might have even bought it at the event on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had it. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. It was quick.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's print on demand. But hey, if you're listening out there, and I'll tell you what, I'll do this. We got to figure out. I'll give away five copies to the first five people that email me, steve@eod-gear.com, and just put unsung, which is the title of the book, in the subject line. And so the first five people who email me, I'll send you a copy. I'll pay for it. Yeah, I'll do that. So
you are one kind man, Steve Cassidy.
I believe in what you guys are doing. I think this is incredible.
Yeah.
So, it was a really good read for me because it was like, you know, for context, I understand what a lot of this is, you know, and there's some things I don't, you know, I was out and, but I mean, I think, you know, but seeing the names, you know, I mean, Digger was a lieutenant, you know, and he, you know, now he's a retired admiral. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of funny to look through here and recognize the names.
Yeah, you asked about Frank Morneau. We didn't meet Frank. We knew about him as a result of the leadership chapter. Several of the EOD techs and operators, you know, I think a couple are mentioned in that chapter that said one of the best leaders, yeah, Frank Morneau. So when we were looking to have a foreword done for the book was completed, and we reached out to a couple of admirals who were still in, you know, active duty, and they said, God, we'd love to do it, but we can't, but you need to reach out to Frank Morneau because he's retired, you know, so he could do it. He immediately said, oh, you guys, of course, you know, send me a chapter, send me three chapters. So we did. So then a day later, he said, send me a couple more chapters. And I had sent him the the contents page. And he said, okay, what, this chapter. Well, he read nearly the whole book, you know, within a few days. And then he said, yeah, I've got enough to write this forward. So he wrote just a phenomenal forward. Yeah. We were so grateful. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, when Digger did a speech at the EOD Memorial Weekend, I think in 2022. Yeah. Actually, it was 2022. And one of the things that he said, and it resonated with me because I watched it online, he said, tell your stories. I want to encourage. And so that's one of the things that we wanted to stress today, is that we want to encourage people within the community to tell their stories, to get them out there, not necessarily through us, but through the kind of thing that you're doing with your podcast, the kind of thing that Jaron Clark is doing. We did a podcast with Bob Bazzini. He's doing the same kind of thing. These stories need to be out there because me, from kind of a sort of an old historian type, is that your stories, your commitment, your work is part of the historical record of the last 30 years of American history, and specifically military history. And we think it's important not just for EOD techs to read the book, but for the larger community, if you will, the larger population, to have some understanding of what it is you guys did and do, and the kind of people that you are.
And the sacrifices your family made. You know, I think it was Joe Palanin who said, hey, we signed up for this work. This was work for us. It was our families who made the sacrifices.
True.
And their stories need to be told, too.
Yeah.
You know, I had one wife that I interviewed. I was very concerned, Steve, that the people we interviewed would believe that what we did was exactly what they expected. And for many, they said yes, and for many, they said, I didn't expect that much. Wow. I had one wife who said, what a beautiful, beautiful book. Thank you. I've laughed and cried dozens of times. It's stories I didn't even realize I needed to read. Thank you for validating our plights, joys, resilience.
Amen.
That boosts, you know, both of us.
Yeah, and we've had several guys that have read, who were participants in the book, and who said, yes, this validated my career to read what other people were doing and to see it in print. And that's pretty cool. That made us feel pretty special.
Yeah.
And at this point, I want to emphasize something that I always say, and Paula always says too, and that is, we're grateful for the exposure about the book. It's not about us. It's about the people in the Navy EOD community. It's about the warriors. It's about the families. We were just honored to be and privileged to be able to do it. So it's not about us. It's about you guys.
So more succinctly, we wrote the book. You all wrote the stories.
Exactly.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was fun. You know, like, I'm curious now. It's like, so, you know, we want to get this book out. I need to take it over to the Navy recruiter here in town. I think every recruiter, because they have all the recruiters and they've never done it. Yeah. And they'll bring people over here and they see all the cool gear and they're like, I'm in. But I think I'm like, well, careful what you ask for because you might just get it. But I think it's important to have context. So I would, you know, I would even say that if you're thinking about joining the military and thinking about special operations, think about Navy OD, but get this book and kind of understand, you know, what's going on. Cause it's a different mission than most everybody else.
Yeah. And you know, if we were at, 1/10 as successful as Dick Couch was with selling books about Navy SEALs, that would make us incredibly happy because, and the other thing that we need to reiterate if possible is that half of whatever we make from the sale of a book, we donate to Navy Special Operations Foundation and the EOD Warrior Foundation. So obviously the more books we sell, the more we're able to,
to help those organizations. Yeah. No, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was something that we discussed almost from the get go. Yeah. That this was not good. We're not going to turn ourselves into, you know, Pulitzer Prize winning authors and be on the New York Times bestseller list. Although that would be cool. That would be cool.
Well, and honestly, I'll give you credit as academics. You know, I always ask people, like I work with a lot of PhD physicists, you know, who build crazy stuff for us. And I'll ask them, I'm like, hey, do you want to be known as the world's best writer or New York Times bestseller? Because they are not the same. But I think, you know, you guys understand that where, yes, the money that's being made most, you know, it's going to EOD Warrior Foundation and Naval Special Operations Foundation, both great, which takes care of the EOD community at large. So
our first three goals, I mean, our three goals immediately were, we want to use this book to inform. And for that, for me, Steve, because I am from academia, I was a teacher from preschool through university for 43 years in my adult life. Not a lot of difference between teaching preschoolers and university at some times. And we all know what I'm talking about.
The football players?
We're not just the football players. Okay.
Hey, I was one, so I can say that.
Okay, all right. So inform was number one, to honor. Joe and I were absolutely adamant that this book would be honoring, you know, the EOD community. And then third was to raise funds. We wanted to raise money for the foundations. And the fun thing is that we've been to a couple of conferences where we've spoken. We had a jar out, not only our books, but a jar out, you know, for donations made to the two foundations. We've stayed with a gal that knew nothing about Navy EOD, but is always looking to support military operations. She just didn't know which ones to support. She wanted her money to go well. Well, we raised several thousand dollars, not from just the sale of the book, but from people donating that we gave directly to both foundations.
So that's great.
So that, this is all, it's good. Yep, keeps us going every day when we're sitting here plugging away, you know, trying to figure out how can we better market? How can we better market? Yeah.
So this sort of thing helps a lot. And, man, your offer to buy some books and get the word out.
Yeah.
That's cool. That helps a lot, Steve. Thank you.
No, glad to do it. In fact, I'll think of something else maybe. You know, like I said, the first five people that listen to this that email me, and hopefully that happens really quick. hopefully it doesn't take too long, but, I think we can do that. And then maybe we'll try and do something else where maybe if you buy X amount of stuff, we'll throw in a book as well. And just to help. And then I want to send a couple to my Army EOD buddies just to irritate them.
Good. But the guys say good things about their Army EOD buddies.
Yeah.
Oh, they know ordnance. Yeah, they're good. Yeah. They're smart. And, you know, a couple of my buddies, Rob and Mike, and if you're listening, you know who you are. No, they're really, really good guys. And wish I could have worked with them, but just missed them on the rotation. But, you know, they're down in the Huntsville area, and so I see them frequently. But there's really good guys and guys and gals. Yeah. So it's super community. I really love it. But I'm so proud of you guys for doing this and taking this up, and especially as a mother and father of Navy OD Tech, you know, that's something my my dad just kind of shook his head, and my mom hated. But you know, but like I said, she was a warrior. I mean, she had a bust of Ronald Reagan on her desk at work. I mean, she didn't play, and yeah. So I mean, no, it's really good, and I've really enjoyed reading the book, and I keep it here in the office with me. But I'll be sure to. You every once in a while have somebody come in and ask about an AVOD. I'm like, well, glad you asked. Sit down and read this. But no, it's fantastic. So what's next with you guys? Are you guys traveling at all? Or do you got another, you know, you're going to go out and promote, or are you going to a trade show, or?
Yeah. We're signed up for some local events in Yavapai County and the great state of Arizona sell some books and do some book signings. We've already done that, of course. I've sent some authors' copies to major news places, Wall Street Journal, San Diego Tribune, some of the NPR places, you know, saying, please help us get the word out. So we are there, we're here, we're anywhere people need us to be. And by the way, those first five people that email you, we would be glad to send them a plate that they can put in the beginning of the book that we'll sign, so that they'll have signed, you know, signed copies.
Okay.
If you just get their information, we can reach out to them and send them that, so that they can put that in the book.
Okay. We'll get all that sorted out. And go from there. But so coming up, we have a National Guard event out in Reno, and then we come back like the next week. We're in Aurora, Colorado for National Tactical Officers. Maybe I'll have a copy there at the National Guard, because they're all military.
Okay.
See if we can do something. Maybe I'll have a flyer or something. Maybe if you guys have a promotional flyer, I can put some of those out.
Branding page that Paula put together that she can email to you.
Absolutely.
I'll print it off, put it out there, and then maybe we'll run into some. You know, I was rolling through the Vegas airport after SHOT Show, and I have my EOD gear jacket on. Of course, it has a giant crab on the back. A couple of the airport guys are like, you know, you ain't getting out of this airport. You know, when you're wearing a crab on your back, don't think that every EOD tech in the place is going to come up. You know, and so like they're everywhere. But
really.
Oh yeah, we got a couple Navy guys at the Nashville airport. You know, old retired guys. So yeah, we're everywhere. But no, we'll make sure we get everything out and go from there. But yeah, if you guys are traveling, and of course, you know, you guys are always welcome to come back on the show if you have something. If you're going to write the second edition or the second version,
that's awesome.
Yeah, love to hear about it. So
we'll be back in DC the first week of September. Our oldest is, he's in Navy, but he's Intel, and I get to help pin him with his wife for, 06 for captain. So, we'll be back for a week. Yeah.
And we were recently in Albuquerque. We started a long road trip, in Albuquerque. We started at Bombs Away Beer Company. We'll give them a shout out. That
awesome
was
place.
A cool place started by a former Air Force EOD guy. And we met some cool EOD people there, had some beer, had some food. And then we went on about a 3,000 mile road trip after that. Yeah. So dragging books everywhere we went.
Right.
Yeah. Well, keep getting the word out, guys. Thank you so much for being on here. Hey, just hang on 1 second. Go and play a little outro, and then we'll get caught up.
All right,
thank you, sir. You've been listening to EOD Gear Improvised.
EOD Gear Improvised.
Steve Cassidy, a former Navy EOD tech and owner of EOD Gear Initial Success or Total Failure. Two locations, one in Franklin and one in Huntsville. The website is eod-gear.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter. EOD Gear has customers from around the globe. Until next time, this is EOD Gear Improvised.
Signing off.